thank you for your tuning in, and I hope the day is good for you, and we're going to ask the Lord to bless you and our thought for today. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power and the promises of your word. And God, we ask you to bless those that are receiving this instructions from you today. And God, we ask you to continue to bless and anoint your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We started in the program yesterday a program and a discussion about tongues, and it is impossible to ever cover that in a brief program. But I believe the Bible made it clear that on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. 20 years after Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. I believe the Word of God said this is to, your children. It wasn't just something that came to those at Pentecost, even though many, many say that this went away at Pentecost, and that is incorrect according to the Word of God. And he said in Acts 1 and 8, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Then if you go over in the second chapter of Acts, you will find that here Peter continued to expound on this, and this is in verse 38 of the second chapter. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord thou God shall call. Now this is the promise of the word. And the Bible tells us that he give the Holy Ghost. This is in Acts 5 and 32. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him. First of all, you have to get your life submitted to God. You got to become a Christian. And don't believe that stuff that they say, well, you got it all in one package when you got saved. That's incorrect by the word of God. The Bible says, unless you have the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. It takes receiving Jesus Christ, and a man must believe in his heart, confess with his mouth, and he shall be saved. When you receive Jesus Christ, yes, you receive his Spirit. But the baptismal form is something that comes after you are sanctified. And we're sanctified, first of all, by the Word, the Spirit, the truth, and the blood. We'll spend one of our programs just on the discussion of sanctification sometime in the near future. It's very important that we understand that we've got to be cleaned up from the world before God's Spirit can totally dwell within us. The trash has got to go. I had a message the other day called throwing out the trash or taking out the trash. There's a lot of trash in our life we got to get rid of. There's a lot of vocabulary that people are professing to be Christian are still using the world's vocabulary. They're still using words that shouldn't be said by a Christian. That has to be cleaned up. We have evil imaginations according to the Word of God. That has to be sanctified. We've got thoughts and desires that are not pleasing to the Lord. They have to be sanctified. And a lot of preachers don't come to the place in their life that they can receive the Holy Ghost. And that's the reason a lot of preachers leave Pentecost, is they reach the point that they just can't make it work, so they get out. Now, the damnable thing that's happened, and I'm not cursing, I'm saying what King James Version of the Bible says, is preachers that don't have it but mock it and claim to have it and still try to stand in the pulpit and try to preach to a Pentecostal message that they don't understand or don't know nothing about. And that's abomination in the sight of God. And we've got that going on right here in our county. And it's sad. And people run to it because they get a little bit of the charisma of it, but they don't have to stop their sinning. They don't have to stop their smoking and their drinking and their affairs. They don't have to stop their adulteries. And, you know, if you go to a church that the majority of the crowd's mixed up in sin, the problem's in the pulpit. And, you know, the only way we're going to really do anything to help people is tell them the truth. And Paul said, you know, they were to give him an eye to start with, but after he told them the truth, they wanted to pluck his eye out. And that is the truth. But we must tell you the truth. You need to be sanctified so that you might receive the power of the Holy Ghost. The word tells us in the 8th chapter of Acts, it says, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. It goes on to say, for as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then the word goes on to say, laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. This is in the Word of God. We have to abide by what's in the Word of God. Then over in the 10th chapter in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all that heard the words. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. This is the Word of God, and this is what God said by His Word. It's not something that I written in the book or put in the Word. And this was, you know, years after the first outpouring, and it's still there. And people say it only happened one time. What we're going to do with all these scriptures in Acts? It happened numerous times. It was poured out on those. And, you know, he told us that be baptized and we can receive the Holy Ghost. And then here, 20 years after Pentecost, and we come to this scripture, and it said, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether they be a Holy Ghost. When I was a young Christian, I was a brethren minister, and my organization back in those days said it was up to the individual, it was up to the person, what they wanted to do. And I simply had thought it was real, thought it was true, but I didn't know nothing about it much because it was not preached that much. I remember some of my uncles would come to church and they would shout and talk in tongues. And I remember they said one of my uncles, they wanted to build a barbed wire pen to keep him in because he was so active. Well, he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was an old alcoholic, had been saved and got full of the Holy Ghost and full of the fire and the power of God. And I remember that. So when I growed up to be a young man, I knew that the Holy Ghost was real, and I knew that I needed it. And I remember when I first started seeking for the Holy Ghost, I prayed the same prayer. I said, Lord, I don't know whether there be a Holy Ghost or not, but if it's real, I want to receive it, and I want the baptism for myself. And I remember the Lord, He really just came to me in my prayers and just helped me in that state for several moments. And then the next time I was in a church service, I was prayed for, and we was having a service in Radford that we seen hundreds and hundreds saved in, and several ministers there, and we was praying one for another. And so I had them to pray for me, and I began to speak and talk in tongues. And the rest of my life, I've talked in tongues. And if it makes me a weirdo, so be it. If it makes me an outsider, so be it. I knew by the power of God that I needed this, because as a young preacher, I stuttered. As a young boy, I stuttered. And I did not get that worked out until God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was ashamed to stand before people. I was ashamed to preach. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And when he filled me with the Holy Ghost, then I was not ashamed. And I preached from one part of this nation to another, even in other countries. I preached and delivered the Word of God under the anointing of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. So I know it's real. Amen. And then he goes on to say in verse 6 of that same 19th chapter, and when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came to them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. This is the Word of God. And we could continue on scripture after scripture after scripture, covering the understanding of how God anointed people as they was prayed for, how he anointed them to speak in tongues, how he gave them the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the evidence of that was the speaking in tongues. It's not something to be afraid of. God's not going to make you. I've heard people say, well, God make me speak in tongues. No, he lets you. And the Bible said the spirit of the prophet is subject unto the prophet. If you got something comes on you can't control, that's not the Holy Ghost. I've had people out in meetings get to talking in a tongue, and it was not the Holy Ghost. I've rebuked people, cast out devils out of people. I've had devils to talk through people. I had a lady in Radford, Virginia, one time they brought her in a meeting and said she had the Holy Ghost, and she didn't have the Holy Ghost. And she really attacked people. She took men and threw them across the room. And we got the devil cast out of her, led her to the Lord, and she became a Christian. Had another, and when I pastored the Blacksburg Church of God many, many years ago, I had a guy bring a lady in there, said she'd got the Holy Ghost at home. And I listened to her for a minute, and I realized it was a counterfeit. And she attacked people, jumped up on their backs, grabbed them the hair of the head, and we had to cast the devil out of that girl. And there again, when we cast the devil out, we was able to lead her to the Lord. Most preachers are ignorant of anything spiritual. I mean, they can rattle on all. They can ratchet jaw to you all day, telling you what they've done, how great they are, and all this stuff. But they can't tell you one thing about the Spirit of God. And as a 45-year veteran of the ministry and seeing literally tens of thousands moved on by the power of the Holy Ghost and seeing what the Holy Ghost can do and seeing what it's done in my life, I feel that God wants me to share some of the experiences and some of the things that's happened in my life and share them with you so that you can have the understanding. He that believeth on me, the Bible said, this is in St. John in the 7th chapter and verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is the promise of the word. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want those living waters flowing out of me. And the word of God said in the Gospel of St. John in the 16th verse of the 14th chapter, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Then in verse 26 of that same 14th chapter, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father has sent in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This is reason that the devil don't want you to have the Holy Ghost. This is the reason the devil is put preachers up in the pulpit to say it's a lie. And people are scared to death of it. I've had people that was doing good under you said something about the Holy Ghost, and they looked like they'd seen a ghost. And they literally run and backed off and went right back into their confusion and their sins. God is not confusion. The God that I serve has made himself perfectly clear to me ever since May the 14th, 1959, when I was first saved. And then in 1968, when he called me and set me forth to preach the gospel and had filled me with the Holy Ghost by that time. Now, the Word of God says in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, he goes on to say, howbeit, When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truths. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you all things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The great purpose of the Holy Ghost is not to put on a show with, but the great purpose of the Holy Ghost is for the understanding that you can have the wisdom and knowledge of God, and God can equip you with his gifts. And kind of in the closing thought of this, and time there again, we could go on and on with the discussion of it. I think of dozens and dozens of the scriptures that we could go to, and at another time we will. In St. John, in the 20th chapter, going on over in verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the promise of God's word. This is what took place. This is what happened. My Bible's just the same as yours if it's King James Version, and all this is in the Word. And don't let nobody tell you that it's not real. Again, we thank you for tuning in. May God bless you and keep you. If you're not a Christian, you need to believe in Jesus Christ and accept him and confess him as your Lord and Savior, and you shall be saved. Now, until we come to you again, God bless you and God love you.